Are you ready for the word today? Now, this is part three on a series and called It's Time for the Supernatural. The Lord spoke to me, I guess, 3.5 weeks ago and said, Michael, it's time for the supernatural to be manifest. And so we're on this series because God wants us to understand what the supernatural is about. If you want a subheading for it, it's understanding the supernatural. So a subheading for today's message. And I said this last week, it's natural for a Christian to be supernatural. But for some reason, many Christians don't know that and don't move in the supernatural because they just don't understand it. And the reason they don't move is because they don't understand something. And that's what, and that's the same in life. The reason why people don't try something is because they don't understand it. And, you know, it's only when you have understanding can you do something. And I spent all of Friday and most of Saturday down in Sutherland, you know, wiring up my son's unit. He's moving in. And he said, Dad, I need you to come down because I don't know how to do electrical work. You know, and he knows how to do building. He doesn't know how to do electrical work. But it's easy when you understand. So when you understand how to do it, you can get in and do all that work because you understand it. So it's not hard for me to do it because I understand how to do that sort of thing. But if you didn't understand, it's like, oh, I don't want to touch this. So it's all mysterious when, you know, I'm not going to touch electrical things. But when you have understanding, and that's what it's like in the supernatural. If you don't understand it, people say, oh, I don't want to touch the supernatural. I may get hurt. No. Get understanding. Yes. You know, the most important thing for us as Christians is to get understanding. Because we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So unless we renew their mind and renew our understanding, we're never transformed. We stay at the same level, week in, week out, year in, year out. We stay on the same level and we never grow. And God wants us to grow in the supernatural realm. And that's the real reason why you're here on earth, is actually to demonstrate the power of God. God will never demonstrate his power unless it happens through you and I. So God is given us his power. He's given us his authority. And we're the ones to declare it on earth. So it's up to you, it's up to me. And I've always said, do not blame politicians for the state of the nation. Blame Christians. Why? Because Christians haven't used their authority if darkness is abounding. It's up to us. It's up to us. We can't cry out and say, oh, look, the police aren't doing enough, or this is not doing enough. It's up to you and I to make a statement, declare some things, and see things changed. See, the way that you get into the supernatural is faith, and through this series we're going to find out the faith is actually the holder of your destiny. Without faith, you can't please God. It's not without faith you aren't going to be, you know, happy. No, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what Hebrews 11 says. Without faith, you can't please God. So if you want to be pleasing to God, you have to understand and have to get into exercising your faith. So the way we rise to the level of this, what we're talking about, or you're only going to rise to a certain level with understanding. So if you only have understanding of a certain level, that's where you're going to rise to. So if you want to go deeper or higher in the realms of the supernatural, we have to increase our understanding. So accessing the supernatural is not achieved by your spirit only. So it's not a work of the spirit only. There's two parts in this. So one part is activating your spirit. The other is renewing your mind in this area of the supernatural. So the earth is actually crying out for the revealing of the sons of God, and it's actually yearning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. There's an anxiousness on the earth that knows that it needs the revealing of the sons of God. And the time for that is now. The time is not in the millennial. The time is right now for the revealing of the sons of God. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, I'm going to read this in the Amplified, it says, for even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing and disclosing of their sonship. That's where it's earnestly, eagerly waiting for you and me to understand our destiny, understand the fullness of what God's got for us. See, natural things are controlled by spiritual things. Don't think that natural things are controlled by natural events. Behind the natural thing, there's always a spiritual or a supernatural activity, both good and bad. See, Genesis 1 and verse 28, this is what God blessed. And he said, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over everything that lives or that moves on the earth. Now, this is the command to Adam. This is the command that God gave to Adam. It wasn't a great long encyclopedia with instructions. It was very simple. It was contained in this verse. So this is the message to Adam. You are to be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. That was the plan, to have dominion over everything. He was to be God of the earth. So notice here that Adam had dominion over everything on the earth. He had the rulership and authority over it. And so God blessed him. And do you understand that blessing comes by saying? Blessing is not some weird thing that suddenly falls upon something or somebody. Blessing comes by somebody speaking it out. That's what God did. He blessed them. How did he bless them? He didn't have a secret little service and he just spoke it out. The same way he spoke life into something, he spoke blessing. And you can bless yourself. Maybe we'll do that next week. We'll talk about how you bless yourself. I haven't got enough time. We've got a full amount today to cover. But remember that. We might cover that next week. How can you bless yourself? And everything I say is backed in the Word. You have to understand that by now. So the next thing that happens, we see that Eve is deceived by Satan. And then Adam transgressed God's law. And he did this also by eating the tree that was forbidden for him by God for him to eat. So Eve was deceived. She was deceived by the serpent. And he came in and he said, you know, if you eat this, you're going to be like God. And she didn't realize she was already like God. So the deception came saying, if you eat this, which was forbidden by God, that she'd be like God. But she was like God already, made in his image and his likeness. But then Adam came and he wasn't deceived. He knew. He transgressed, willingly transgressed what God had said. And that transgression gave his authority, his dominion over to Satan. In that willful transgression, he did that. The next thing we see that as a result of that, in the evening, as God was used to coming down and meeting and talking and communing with Adam and Eve in the evening, says in the cool of the evening, and that same time he came down and he calls out, Adam, where are you? And this was not about his location. Who knows, you can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. So even though Adam and Eve were hiding in the bushes, it wasn't about their location. This statement by God was about their position. Of course, all of a sudden, Adam had fallen from a position as a son of God. His authority was taken, his dominion was taken, his position was down there. Adam, where are you? You've gone to a different level. You've now fallen from the level that I created you. He lost his place of spiritual dominion and spiritual authority, and God knew that. We now see that Satan, who was a fallen angel, had got the dominion that Adam had, and this was never meant to be. See, Adam was given dominion over the works of God's hands. That's what the scripture says, that he was given the dominion over all the works of God's hands. Now, we know that angels are works of God's hands. So as a result, the earth is now corrupted and cursed because it has it's spiritually now out of order, out of sync. Because the authority is now being taken from man by an angel. Now the whole system is out of sync and out of order. So I decided I would actually explain this a little easier with this, with a slide that I made up. And showing you the order that God has given us. So that slide comes up now. So you'll see in this slide, it shows that we have the Godhead, and in the Godhead is the glory of God is manifest. It's a glorious Godhead. And within that, we now have, as you know, we have the line of the tribe of Judah, crowned with glory and honor in the Godhead. We've got a man in the Godhead. And man in the order was made a little lower than Godhead. So we know in Genesis 1:27 it says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, man and male and female. He created them in the image and likeness of God. And Psalm 8 and verse 4 says, and this is an angel declaring this, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you should care for him, yet you've made him a little lower than God. Now if your translation says angels, that is an incorrect translations. The interpreters wrote it that way because they weren't bold enough to write what it said in the Hebrew. He was made a little lower than Elohim, which is the Godhead. And then it goes on, it said, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. And you've made him to have dominion over all the works of your hands, and you put all things under his feet. All things have been under his feet. Now, angels, in Hebrews 1 verse 14 says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent out by God to serve, accompany, protect those who will inherit salvation? Of course they are. Who inherits salvation? We do. We're the ones that inherit salvation. Mankind is the one who inherits salvation. So angels are made to be ministering spirits for us. Servants of us. And likewise, we see in the case of Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 11. After that time, it says, then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. That was their job. Ministering spirits sent to the heirs of salvation. So you have the right to have ministering spirits minister you to go and get your things. When you speak, they go in to get it. When you declare healing, healing happens. Understand that the supernatural is about releasing the power of God through his ministering angels. So that's the right sequence. That's the right level that should be there. But so God made man as God of the earth, and now a fallen angel is God of the earth. You can see how the world is, and the earth is groaning because it's out of sync. It's out of balance. And ever since that time, earth has been imploding in that sense, been corrupted since that time. And corruption, the curse has been working because it's out of balance, it's out of God's order, and that's what's happened to the earth. That's why there's a curse working, because we've got things out of balance. The words of man were designed to release angels to the minister to man, to go and get things that they spoke. But now, the words of a fallen angel have dominion on the earth. And these words are corrupt words, lies, and full of fear. These words are now motivating man to build Satan's kingdom on earth. Another term for Satan's kingdom used in the Bible is Babylon. That's where it's referred to, Babylon. Now God is to find a man who will believe him, to act for him on the earth, to take back what is stolen. Remember, God gave man dominion on the earth. Man gave it away to Satan. So Satan, the word says, is the prince of this earth. He's the one who got the dominion. So God could not come and take it back, because when he gave it away, he literally gave it. It wasn't his to take back. It had to be taken back by man. And we see that in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" So the blessing was still being coming down to somebody that would believe God. But it was only a narrow blessing that would come down. And so it came down on Noah at the time that the earth was so corrupted with this curse. The earth had got so much out of sync at the time of Noah that God was going to destroy the whole earth. But from one family, so much corruption had come in. And that's when we see the flood coming in. So we see now that God's putting back his blessing in the earth. And then we have a rise of a man named Nimrod. Who's heard of Nimrod? Okay, Nimrod was a man who was raised up to be a king. And he forms a city in a system which is called Babylon and was directly in opposition to God. So Nimrod was the one who set himself up and he gathered people around him to form this system. And out of that we've got the isms, or those sort of things coming out, like, and out of that derived communism, socialism, capitalism, all come out of that Babylonian system. Now God, the Word, is the only one that can destroy the works of the devil. God the Word. And before the foundation of the earth, before the fall of man, the Lamb of God, which is Jesus, the Word of God, was, and which was recorded in the book of Revelations 13:8. I don't think I've got it up there. But it says, "Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain," which was to bring about the spiritual order and balance the earth again. And we know that Jesus referred to the second Adam. So before all this happened, before Adam fell, the plan of God was that the Lamb would be slain. So before it happened. So it wasn't some accident. It wasn't some band-aid treatment that God had to come up with and say, "Well, Adam and Eve, they really, you know, didn't make it. They fell. What hope is there?" You know, no. Before all this happened, the plan of God was that the Word, the same one that created man, the same one that created the earth, would be the same one that would give up his right to become a man. That's how precious man is in his sight. That's how precious mankind is, that God would become a man. To walk as a man, to take back the authority in that sense. And then, where's he right now? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Where are we seated? In heavenly places with him, the work that he's done. So Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And I want to go back to show you a man who started out and who understood how to get hold of these things and understand the blessing. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of the country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moab. And the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I shall give this land.' So he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. And he moved from the mountains to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent at Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. There he built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, still going on towards the south." So I wonder why Abram journeyed still going further. You know, he reached a place that was significant in the Bible. He reached a place called Bethel. Later on, Bethel was a place where there was a portal to heaven. That's where Jacob was, and heaven opened and angels were descending and ascending. Why didn't he stop there? But he kept on going on, because he was looking for something in the natural. He'd been given a promise, and he was looking for that Garden of Eden, that place that was going to be abundant. So in the natural, he was looking for something natural. God said, "I'm going to show you a place." But he didn't, first time, he didn't see it. So he was looking for something natural. And it's interesting that the blessing is independent of what you see in the natural. The blessing doesn't rely upon your situation. See, but God had to teach Abraham that the blessing on his life was the blessing that was designed to replenish the earth. See, after man's sin, the earth was cursed, and things were starting to wear out, even in his time, and need someone with the blessing of God to fix it. The same blessing will fix anything that's broken, that's wearing out in your life, and turn it into the Garden of Eden. The blessing is passing onto man, the power of God that used to create the whole thing, it's coming onto man. That blessing that created it is on the mankind to restore it. That's what happens. Now, the blessing can come on to your business. It can turn your business around. The blessing can come onto your house. It can turn all that around. The blessing is what the enemy was trying to hide from mankind, so that man would not rise to the potential. So the enemy is trying to get mankind to not to see what God's blessing's about. See, Genesis 13, we pick up in verse 5, and it says, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. I want you to notice that Lot, who was the nephew of Adam was never told to take him. But for some reason, Lot sensed that Abram was going on a journey and some good things were going to happen, so he tagged along. And there was a fallout of the blessing that was on Abram's life, and Lot started to increase. And you notice he had flocks, herds, and tents. But I want you to see in verse 2 that Abram was very rich in a few other things. He was very rich in livestock, and also there was silver and gold. And Lot just got the spillover of the blessing that was on Abram's life. Everything that was pedigree went to the one who had the blessing. Everything that was the best went to the one who had the blessing. And the others just got the spillover. The others got the spillover. The same way you look at all the patriarchs, you know, even Jacob, when he went out, you find that Laban was blessed because he was there. And he started to increase. Same with Joseph when he went into Potiphar's house. That started, he started to increase and bless. And everything started to prosper. Everything where someone has got the blessing will start to prosper and increase. And there's going to be fallout for those others. And verse 6, now the land was not able to support them, that they may dwell together, for their possessions were so great they could not dwell together. So abundance was the blessing, there was just no room. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's and livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And says, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in that land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there not be any strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, because we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate yourself. If you take the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. That was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the garden of the Lord, like the garden, or like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. And Lot chose for himself the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities in the plains, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. See, Abram told Lot, choose the right hand, and I'll go to the left, or if you choose the left, I'll go to the right. See, the blessing was independent. That's why you're so confident. Abraham was confident. It doesn't matter where you go, Lot. Wherever you go, I know God's blessing is on my life. It doesn't matter if it's a wilderness. It doesn't matter if there's no rainfall. You know, it's interesting when you go back and look at some pictures of Israel, even 60 years ago, and you'll see that the whole place is desert. The whole place is dry and dusty and not worth anything. When the children of Israel came back and they formed a nation, the blessing came back. Things start to prosper. Things start to grow. Abundance came. That's why so many people are envious of that one place, because the blessing is there. That's what happens. The blessing will come. Doesn't matter about the situation. So Abraham was so confident. He knew that God was, he trusted God, so, and he saw that God was blessing him in his life. See, every place you go, the blessing will be there if you believe the blessing is with you. Your job will release the blessing. You just start speaking, start declaring, and start seeing the blessing coming into your job. See, you're not coming into a community to hurt anyone when you come with the blessing. You might, if you see someone selling drugs or ice or something in your community, then it's up to you. Just go in there and declare with a blessing and change the situation. That's your job, to fix the problems. See, the whole earth is groaning for the revealings of the sons of God. And so what's happening to the land that Lot chose? Well, it turned out to be Sodom and Gomorrah, full of all sorts of sexual perversion and depravity. It was so bad that God was going to destroy them. But he said, should I hide back from my servant Abram what I'm going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? And because of the blessing that was on Abram's life, he was able to spare Lot's. So he negotiated the terms of the number of righteous in that place that would determine if God would move or not. So God set a question to him, and he said, how many? And it was Abram that set the limit. Abraham started off with a bigger number, 50. He worked his way down, and he came down for 5. See, Abram set the limit, but there was not that many righteous. And so we see that what Lot thought was going to be a blessing became a curse in his life. He lost his wife as a result. And he left just with his sandals and his clothes. He went in with abundance. Where did that all go? The abundance that he went into that place was all taken away. I want to share you a personal story. And this personal story, it's sort of regarded where my parents were. My parents were born in Newcastle. And in 1953, they went to Perth. And my father was in the Air Force at that time. And they came on there. And one of the first things that they were shown by some Christians in the church they decided to attend, they took them down to the city called Rowe Street in Perth. And Rowe Street was the most perverted street in the state of Western Australia. It was full of brothels. It was full of all sorts of sin. There was all sorts of nightlife happening. It was a blight on the whole city. Such a great city, but one area was just such a blight on that city. And the women who worked in the brothels were unashamed. They took to the street and openly flaunted themselves in their scantily dressed bodies, enticing the men of Perth, and it was very open. There was nothing that anyone could do about it. The authorities didn't do anything about it. The churches were powerless to do anything about it. And they were disgusted. The church people were disgusted about it. They were disgusted that the thing was so open. And it just didn't happen overnight. It actually had been started before the First World War. That's how long it had been into that place. Since the First World War, and the main matriarch was a French woman, Josie. I've got a picture up there. And she was a French lady. Go jump back one, the other one. So she was a French lady that came out, and just at the end of the... before the end of the First World War, and she set up her matriarchal area in Perth. She died in 1953, but her legacy was still there. It was so entrenched, and nobody could do a thing about it. So when my parents had come there and they showed this thing, and the church was powerless. It was just a couple of years later that an American evangelist, a prophetess called Jean Darnell. Jean Darnell, I've got a next slide showing you, young Jean Darnell on the top left there. She was a Foursquare preacher that was born up under Amy Semple McPherson. Who's heard of Amy Semple McPherson in the US? Such an amazing woman of God. And so she came out with her husband. She was the minister. She came out to Perth. And you can see there my dad. He came up and he joined the Bible college she started. So she started the Bible college. That happens to be me in 1955. So I was born in Bible college, basically. And so my parents were going through Bible college at that time, under Jean Darnell. And when Jean Darnell came out, she saw that infamous Rowe Street, and something reacted within her. When she came out, she couldn't understand why the Christians allowed this place. So she simply went down to Rowe Street with a kitchen chair. She went down to Rowe Street with a kitchen chair against everyone's guidance, and she stood on that chair, and for 3 months she declared the power of God. Hallelujah. This one woman, for 3 months she declared the power of God. Do you know, in 3 months that whole street was closed down. In 3 months there was not one brothel left in that place. Everything was closed down. Everyone left because the presence of God came into that place, because someone declared that God and Jesus Christ was Lord. So it's, you can say, since the First World War, nobody was able to do anything about it. The police tried to stop it. They couldn't stop it. The government officials tried to stop it. They couldn't do it. But one woman stood on a kitchen chair and declared for 3 months that we're going to change this place. Do you know, Jean Darnell is actually still alive today. She's in her 90s. In her 90s, her ministry, you know, was one of the supernatural. And so out of that time, she brought the presence of the supernatural. She was a child, 3 years of old, who experienced the glory of the Lord in Azusa Street in California. She was a baby in that time. And she experienced that time. She had a miraculous healing of herself at the age of 15 years of age. She was healed of tuberculosis. And she committed her life to God. And as a result, countless thousands of people raised up, missionaries, ministers. My parents went into the ministry as a result of Jean Darnell. And you can imagine the countless thousands, if not millions of people have been affected because one woman decided to stand up and declare and change her situation with a blessing. See, that we have a supernatural power available to us. It's called the blessing, and you should realize that it's both financial and spiritual. In the case of Abraham, it was just financial. There was no spiritual blessing on Abraham. He wasn't even saved. I don't know if you know that. No one in the Old Testament was saved. They were righteous because they believed God, but there was no one who was saved. Salvation only can come through Jesus. And that's why when Jesus died and was raised again, the first thing he did, he came into paradise and he preached to all those in paradise. And they had to believe on him. Abraham had to believe on him. Everyone had to believe on him. And he took them out of paradise into heaven. So it was only a natural blessing that was on Abraham, a financial blessing. And we see that in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1, it says, "Now Abraham, when he was old, well advanced in age, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And the Lord blessed," and this is verse 35, and this is his servant now saying this, "The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys." The list was just going on. This is what his servant was declaring. This is how much God has blessed him. See, the blessing is supernatural and is designed to increase people so much that you're envied. Wherever Abraham went, they envied him. Wherever Isaac went, they envied him. And wherever Jacob went, they envied him. So much was the blessing on them. What I'm saying to you, that you're sons of God and God knows who you are. The devil knows who you are, so it's high time that you knew who you were. God knows who you are. The devil knows who you are. It's time that you knew who you were. It's time for you to go into hostile territory and take back what the enemy has stolen and drive out the demonic controlling operations that are there. God's sending you out to dispossess the devil from occupying ground illegally. He's operating illegally. It's up for you to take it back. The blessing is more powerful today than it was in the Garden of Eden. That's interesting. Because when God restores something, he restores it better than it was originally. God does that. He restores it, he makes it better than it was the first time around. Even in the garden, because the garden represents the worst condition that it was, God's going to restore exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. Now, I can think of some good things, but even above that, God wants to restore. See, what I'm saying to you is that if you really knew who you were, then the church should be a miraculous place and the miraculous should break out all the time. If you just understood who you are, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you, all you've got to do is declare the word of God in that situation and it will change. You know, it's not that somebody will lay hands on you necessarily and put the glory on you. The glory of God is the atmosphere of himself and he's present within us. And we've just got to release that glory. We've got to release that. See, it represents the atmosphere of heaven. And you know, in heaven's atmosphere, there's no sickness. In heaven, there's no sickness. It's not allowed. Yeah, there's no sickness. God doesn't have sickness to give anyone. And there's only one time in the Bible that God gave anyone sickness. And he gave it to his son, Jesus. He put all sickness, all sin upon his son so that you wouldn't have to. The only time that he did that was one time. And it gave him pleasure because he saw you. Because God saw you, it gave him pleasure to put it all upon his only son. So that you could have redemption. So you could step up. You wouldn't have to struggle with this. And you could just say, Lord, take this from me. He's paid for it in full. It's been paid in full. You know, just in concluding this, because I've got a lot more to say about this. But at the end of last year, I spoke a message about the coming year of 2017. And I read a prophetic word from Kenneth Copeland. I just want to touch on that again because it was quite interesting. And it said, this coming year is not going to be like anything like anybody has thought up to now. This is a year of fabulous outpourings from heaven. Notable miracles at the hands of not only ministers of in the fivefold ministry, but among the people. Believers will lay hands on the sick and notable miracles will be done. Many things are going to happen in the kingdom of God in 2017. It won't be like anything you have thought. It'll be grander and greater. That must have been a golf ball hitting the window, I think. An outpouring such as never been seen before, says the Spirit of Grace. You know, and in that message, I read this scripture. I think I've got this up there. Deuteronomy 11:22, which is a great scripture. And I'm going to read these couple of verses. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out these nations from before you and dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. Every place on which your soul, your foot treads shall be yours. from the wilderness of Lebanon, to, from the river of Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you, for the Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon the land you tread, all the land you tread, just as I said to you. See, verse 23 says, if you're obedient to keep his word, your position, your place is to be obedient. And it says, God will give you. God will drive out. He will drive them out. You've just got to be obedient to his word. So there's three things that are very important in obeying God's word. It says, let your heart be filled with his word, let your eyes be fixed on his word, and let your mouth continually speak God's word. If they did this, then his promise would be in verse 21. And this is what it says in verse 21. That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of heaven above the earth. Now, in Young's literal translation, it says, as days of heaven on the earth. And I want to read this in the New English translation. It says it quite interesting. It says, so that your days and those of your descendants may be extended in the land. Now, that extension means 120 years. And in the land which the Lord promises to give you and your ancestors, like the days of heaven itself. So the promise God promises us that we'll have days of heaven on the earth. It's going to be like days of heaven. And I declared this over the last few weeks, that by Christmas, you're going to experience days of heaven. Sickness goes. Remember, there's no sickness in heaven. So if you're going to experience days of heaven, there's no sickness. There's an abundance. Everything you ask for will be given. That's what days of heaven. As you understand that the ministering angels are sent to minister to you, and that's God's promise. We're not speaking anything that's not in the Word of God. This is what the Word of God says. That 2017 shall be, the faithful shall flourish, and it shall be like days of heaven on the earth. That's what the supernatural is about. Taking the realm of heaven and bringing it onto the natural. Hey, let's stand together. You know, right now I just know that the Holy Spirit wants to minister to people. And he wants to bring the atmosphere of presence into your situation, into your life. He wants to drive out the enemies that have come in, and he wants to dispossess them, because there's been a fingerprint, there's been a handhold upon areas of your life. And if you give that over to him, he will then come out and he will drive out the enemy so the blessing can be manifest. Now, if that's you, if that's what the Lord has been speaking to you about, I encourage you, while we sing this song, you come out and let's pray with you and see a touch of heaven coming on your life right now. I invite you to come. Thank you, Jesus.